In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. A few more years ago than I'd care to admit, in the first congregation that I served, one of the ladies in the church marched in to my office and asked me the question, "Who's in charge here?"
Oh, no.
Needless to say, I was taken back a bit. And I wondered, was she asking about the bishop? He was, in a sense, the chief authority in the diocese, and since I was serving a mission, not a parish, he had more authority over the congregation than he would have had over a parish. Or maybe she was asking about the vestry. They had the authority over the material possessions of the church. Or maybe she was asking about me. I had authority over the liturgy and the spiritual life and the worship of the church. I must have taken a little too long to answer her because she asked again, this time a little louder, "Who's in charge here?" So I asked her to explain exactly what she was asking about, and the conversation became a little more productive after that. When we read the account of the birth of Jesus in Luke, we might well ask that same question. Who's in charge here? The account of the birth of Jesus begins with a statement, "In those days, a decree went out from the Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered." The older translation, with which some of you might be more familiar, said that Augustus decreed that all the world should be taxed. But registration was really just a method of preparation for taxing the people. And the person who has the power to tax is often regarded as the person who's in control, who's in charge of things. And so if you ask most of the people in first century Rome, "Who's in charge here?" they probably would have said Caesar. Augustus, the emperor, is in charge here. Some people would have been happy about it. Other people would have been angry about it. But few people would have denied that the emperor was the one in charge. It was by the decree of Caesar that Joseph and Mary were in Bethlehem when Jesus was born. Luke tells us that Joseph and Mary lived in Nazareth, not Bethlehem. But they traveled to Bethlehem to be registered with Joseph's family because Joseph was descended from King David. It's kind of interesting because more than 700 years earlier, the prophet Micah had said, "But you, O Bethlehem of Ephratah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times." You know, it might have appeared like Caesar was in charge, but was he really controlling the events of the history of the world? Because if not for the decree of Caesar Augustus, Jesus would have been born in Nazareth. Micah, however, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, had already said that God was going to have Jesus be born in Bethlehem. If you're trying to figure out who's in charge, where do you look? Do you look to Washington, D.C.? Or maybe you look to Wall Street in New York City. If we're looking a bit more locally, we might say maybe the person in charge here is in Columbus. Is that where we think the world is being shaped? Is that where we think the really important events of history are being determined? In his letter to the Galatians, Paul wrote, "When the set time had fully come, God sent his Son." It may not have looked like a good time for God to become incarnate. Israel was under the power of a pagan empire. Even within Judaism, the religious leaders didn't get along all that well. The Sadducees, the Pharisees, the Zealots, the Herodians, and all of these other sects were battling each other for control. But this was the set time. The time when God had determined that he was going to take on human flesh. It was his time. And he came in his way. He entered the world, born to Jewish peasants in a lowly setting. The coming of the Son of God incarnate in human flesh went unnoticed by most. The puppet King Herod wasn't aware of the birth of Jesus until sometime later, when magi from the east came and asked him about the birth of the newborn king. That was probably about 2 years after Jesus was born. Herod had no idea. The Emperor Augustus was probably never aware of the birth of Jesus. You see, no one really important in the eyes of the world noticed the most important birth in all of history. But the birth of Jesus didn't go entirely unnoticed. Of course, Joseph and Mary were there to welcome the Son of God. And since Joseph was from Bethlehem, it's very likely that his family was there to welcome Jesus. And then there were the shepherds. They received the message from heaven that the Messiah had been born. So they went to see their king. And they told everyone they encountered about the birth of Jesus. But their message went largely unnoticed by the powerful of this world, because shepherds had the social standing comparable to migrant workers in our own society. But then there were also angels from the realms of glory that took notice of the birth of Jesus. They knew that God was in control. And they knew that this is how God usually works. The halls of power in Rome and Jerusalem could not contain the power of God. The angels knew that this event that looked so small was one of the greatest events in the history of the world. The incarnate God who would deliver the world from sin and death had been born in Bethlehem. Christmas then might be a good time for us to ask ourselves whether we are looking in the right places for God's coming into this world. Some of you who visit hospice patients have seen God's action in this world, in those precious last days and last moments of life. You've seen God at work transforming individuals and families. I've seen God at work in the nursing home as we're singing hymns, and suddenly a smile comes to the face of someone who hasn't smiled in a long time. Or if you've been to the Metanoia Hospitality Center, you've seen God at work among the shelter-resistant homeless. Or some of the youth here saw God at work in Cascade Park when they were picking up trash, and people marveled at the willingness of a church youth group to do that kind of work. You may have seen God at work among your family or friends when children start asking questions about God, or when friends are touched with God's healing power. You see, God is still coming into this world. The New York Times and the Washington Post may miss it. It's not happening in the way that they would think it would happen. Wall Street and Washington may miss it because it doesn't fit their ideas of who's really in charge here. But the right answer to that lady who demanded to know who's in charge here is that God is in charge here. If we know where to look, we can see it. The one who is welcomed by shepherds and heralded by angels from the realms of glory is still at work in the world today. And the ways in which he works often go unnoticed by the powerful of this world. But make no mistake, he is in charge here. Because the child that we remember tonight is the King of creation. And he often comes in humility. But never make the mistake of thinking that his humility is powerless. Because as the angels of the realm, from the realms of glory, recognized, the one who came in great humility is the one who's really in charge here. I share this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.